How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness, they walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with the brightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not forsake me utterly. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. These are the beginning verses of Psalm 119, and we will be speaking about the Baith section of that, which begins with verse 9. So you can turn to Psalm 119 and verse 9. But before we do, we should begin with prayer. So we'll have a moment for silent prayer, and then I will open us. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving us this opportunity, for allowing us to gather to speak about your word, to learn more about you, learn more about your word. I pray this would not be just an academic learning, that we wouldn't be able to take this information and apply it to our lives. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your law. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. It is my favorite chapter in the Bible. It's longer than several of the books of the minor prophets and others. 176 verses. It's an acrostic based on the Hebrew alphabet that has 22 letters, 8 verses per letter. We already talked about the first 8 verses to begin with the letter Aleph. It was on a Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago. And the MP3 is on the website, minding its MP3 business for those who need to catch up. This week we will move on to Baith. But I have a couple of things I want to say in general about Psalm 119 before we dive into the verses. It is an acrostic, 8 verses each, so I don't know. I'm anticipating 22 weeks at 1 week per section, per letter. I don't know if those will all be in one stretch, but that is the anticipated rate. So we will cover 8 verses tonight. Psalm 119 is focused on God's word. We don't know who it was written by, but I do know that whoever wrote it loved God's word. He loved it very much. He loved it so much that he wrote this very long love poem to God's word, and that's what we have is Psalm 119. Some people think it was David, because David wrote so many of the Psalms, but it does not say it was David's. Maybe it may not be. We see from clues in the text that it was written by a young man. There are several references to elders as opposed to young men. We'll see verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? Well, the same way that older men keep their way pure, the same way that women keep their way pure, the same way that everyone keeps their way pure. But he refers to the young man because that is who he is. And he's very personally speaking in this chapter. There are a couple of things I want to share with you that I just recently found in this chapter. It's been my favorite chapter for at least 5 years, and every time I read it, I find something new, because that's the way that God's word is. But it just occurred to me a couple of weeks ago that nowhere in this chapter do we find the word we. There's never a first-person plural verb or pronoun in this chapter. That he is speaking I, he's speaking you to God, and it's a very personal conversation between whoever wrote this psalm and God. He's speaking directly to God, talking about all the provision that God has done for him in his life and what he will do in response to that provision. Very personal conversation between I in the first person and you, God, in the second person. There are a handful of third-person references to enemies, which we'll see in Gimel, the next section. There are a handful of other references to other people, but the vast majority is between I and you, between the psalmist and between God. Very personal, very devotional, as he is describing how much he loves God and how much he loves God's word. The second thing that I had never noticed until just this weekend, actually, I was at a workshop in Houston with Disciple Makers Multiplied. We were covering Romans chapters 1 through 8. And we covered 8 chapters in 3 days. It was very intense. And we were talking about the difference between law and grace. And we weren't talking about Psalm 119 at all, but it just hit me. The the context, and we always should consider the context in which Scripture is written. Psalm 119 is written when the Jews are under the law, when Christ hasn't come yet, they're not in the church, this is under law, and yet we don't see mention of the temple. We barely have any mention of sacrifices. And there's, in fact, I found one verse that mentions sacrifice. I'll show that to you real quickly. It is verse 108 in the noon section. Oh, accept the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your ordinances. It has the word offering, but it's not talking about an animal. It's not talking about a sacrifice. There was a freewill offering under the law, and you can read all about it in Leviticus. But this is something else. This is just what he is saying. It's his praise to God, and it's not the sacrifice of an animal or of grain or of whatever else that they sacrifice there in Leviticus. And so as we see this love that the psalmist has for God's word, he talks about how much he loves the law. He mentions law many times, and yet never does he say, I sacrifice all the time to you, because that's not what's important. The verse in Hosea 6:6 that Jesus also quoted in the Gospels, that he tells the Pharisees, I desired compassion and not sacrifice. I desired mercy and not sacrifice. That in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, believers did not earn favor with God by sacrifice. That it was with loving God. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself, as Jesus says in the Gospels. And even under law, the psalmist loved God's word. So how much more in our application now, if under law he loved God this much and he loved God's word this much, how much more are we accountable now that we have been given so much? Too much is given, much is required. Now that we are under grace, we should appreciate it even more. And I know I'm not at that point yet. I don't love God's word as much as the psalmist did. But we will talk more about that. So let us review briefly the Aleph section we have covered before. It begins with how blessed are those whose way is blameless. And the word blessed, ashrei, is what begins both of the first two verses. In the Hebrew, they both begin with the letter Aleph, Ashrei. Blessed are those whose way is blameless. And the perfect, those who are perfect in their way, is described in verse 1 as a blameless way. In verse 2, those who observe his testimonies. In verse 3, those who do no unrighteousness. And then in verse 6, those who are not ashamed when they look on God's commandments. Each of these descriptions are a description of a person who has no imperfections in his life, who has no sin in his life. How is this possible? By confession. This is someone who has no unconfessed sin in his life. I'll remind you again of Psalm 32. I talked about it when we talked in Aleph. Let's turn briefly to Psalm 32. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. And this one was written by David. And it begins with the same word, blessed. And it describes the blessings, the joy, the happiness that a believer can have when he has no unconfessed sin, when he has confessed to God and he has been restored to fellowship. This is an Old Testament example of what we have in the New Testament. We have in the church as 1 John 1:9. I'm sure we are all very familiar with that verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that point, when we have been cleansed from all sin, from all unrighteousness, we are restored to fellowship with God. And that is how we can experience the joy, the blessings of fellowship with him. How can you be blessed? How can you have a way that is blameless? It is by confessing. In Psalm 32, we have confession here. Also in Psalm 51 is another great example of confession. David's confession after his murder and adultery with Uriah and Bathsheba. And in both of these cases, we see confession that is not sacrifice. In the Old Testament, in the law, they had sacrifices that were commanded for sin to be restored to ritual purity, to be clean, to be able to participate in the worship in the temple. But the sacrifice is not what restored a believer to fellowship. It was an outward sign. It was a ritual, of course, pointing toward Christ. But it was still the same way. It was by confession that they were restored to fellowship, the same way that we are. It was by confession of sin, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the same way that in the Old Testament, the law did not save anyone. That is covered repeatedly in Romans and in Galatians, that the law cannot save anyone. The law was not designed to save anyone. The law was designed to show us that we are sinners so that we can believe in the Savior. In the Old Testament, they were given promises of the coming Savior. In our case, we can look back and we see the Savior that has already come. But in the Old Testament, believers were saved the same way that we are saved today, by faith in a coming Messiah. We have salvation by grace through faith. We have confession the same way. That is how we can be blameless, how we can have fellowship with God. So Aleph describes those who are perfect, describes those who are blameless, who have no unconfessed sin. That is what covered in the first 8 verses. Beth now will get very practical. We'll describe how we can do this, how we can keep our way pure. Not only confession is how we make it pure, but how do we keep it that way? The Christian way of life is not a matter of sinning, confessing, repeatedly going in and out of fellowship. You can live that way, but that is not at all the desired way to live. We want to live in continued fellowship, in abiding with Christ. And Beth will tell us how we can continue on walking in the Spirit. In the New Testament, we call it walking by the Spirit. So let's start reading in verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. We begin with a question. And then depending on how you want to count it, you can say we have one answer in this verse. But if you keep reading the next 7 verses, you can count a dozen or even 15 different answers for practical ways that you can keep your way pure. And then as a summary, by keeping it according to your word. In the Hebrew, remember that the Psalms, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and there's something that is much more visible in the Hebrew than in the English. The first letter of all 8 of these verses is the letter Beth, and in Hebrew, Beth is one of the inseparable prepositions. We have a preposition that describes in, with, or by, describes instrument. And you tack this on to the beginning of another word, is how they put their prepositions in their sentence. And it's this preposition in 7 out of the 8 verses in this passage. The only exception is verse 12, where we have, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." In that case, we have Baruch, which is blessed. The word baraka comes from that blessing. But except for that verse, all the other 7 begin with the preposition bait, which means in, with, or by, and describes an instrument. So we begin with what, or how, can you keep your way pure? With this, with this, with this. We'll see all these instruments that are all answers for how we can keep our way pure. The first way is by keeping it according to your word. And we saw this already back in Aleph. And we see right in verse 1, those whose way is blameless is paralleled with those who walk in the law of the Lord. The blameless way, the perfect way, is the one that is in accordance with the law of the Lord. It's a parallel description. In order to be considered perfect, to be considered blameless, the standard for that perfection to which we must measure up is the law of the Lord, is the Word of God. So how to keep your way perfect? By keeping it in accordance with that standard. We see it in verse 1, we see it in verse 9, by keeping it according to your word. In verse 10, with all my heart I have sought you, do not let me wander from your commandments. In English, the word with we have there, that's our preposition bait, with, speaking of instrument. With all my heart I have sought you. And we talked about heart, because in Aleph we had, in verse 2, who seek him with all their heart. And then in verse 7 we have the uprightness of heart. Heart is mentioned repeatedly in Psalm 119. And never does it say with half of my heart. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded, or is it ever described, that some believer served the Lord with half of their heart. That's not what God wants. In Deuteronomy 6, let's look there quickly. It's a passage we know. In the great Shema of Israel, Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4. Hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Loving God with all your heart, writing it on your heart. We're not speaking in physical terms. We're not speaking of the organ that pumps blood. Very rarely in the Bible is, when heart is used, is that what the context is talking about. It's also not speaking of emotions. It's not a matter of being very emotional, having positive emotions towards God. That's not what it means to love him with all your heart. Heart, in the Old Testament, the most frequent use is of understanding, of the mind. So we want to, yes, we need to love him, but not only on an emotional basis, but with our mind. We need to serve him with all of our mind, all of our understanding. And to have his word, these words which I am commanding you today, shall be on your heart, means that we need to be memorizing it. We're going to see that here in Baith. We're going to see in verse 11, your word I have treasured in my heart. The heart as the understanding. We need to know who God is. We need to know what his word is in order to love it, in order to be able to use it to serve him. We need to be studying it. We need to know it. We need to memorize it. And it is with all my heart. I believe we went through the verses. We went through Aleph. But it's mentioned repeatedly in Psalm 119, not only heart, but all my heart, over and over again. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Think about it. If you are, in the present tense, you are seeking God with all of your heart, how much danger are you in wandering from his commandments? You're not. This is why you need to continue to seek him with all your heart. He's saying that this is what he has been doing. And when he's saying, God, don't let me wander, he's saying, keep me seeking you. Keep me in this position. He is right now walking right with God. He is right now in fellowship. He's right now seeking God with all his heart. And yet he recognizes that that can change. He recognizes that his fellowship can be broken by any sin. And if he sins, he loses fellowship and he is not going to be seeking anymore with all his heart. And then the danger is that he will wander from God's commandments. So another answer for how you can keep your way pure is by seeking him with all your heart. Verse 11, Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Again, this begins with the letter bait, and it's the preposition. In English, we have in my heart. And it is true that bait can be translated as in, but I would prefer to translate this as an instrument. It's been an instrument in the other verses. I would rather be consistent and say with my heart, considering that heart means understanding. It means our thinking, our mind. It's not a location in which we are putting God's word. So it sounds more poetic maybe in English to say in my heart. But by translating it with my heart and with the understanding that it means with my understanding, that's how I'd prefer to think of this verse, is that I am treasuring or hiding, depending on your translation, I am treasuring God's word with my understanding. With all of it, as we saw in verse 10, but the all isn't repeated. I have treasured that I may not sin against you. And this treasuring, in some translation it's hiding, but it's not about hiding his word in our hearts so that no one else can find it, so that no one can see that it's there, keeping it away from other people. That's entirely the wrong idea. But treasuring is something that is important to you. And if God's word is truly important to you, and you are treasuring it with your understanding, you're memorizing it, you have it in your understanding, in your soul, that is a prophylactic against sinning. If you have God's word in your soul, in your thinking, in your understanding, then the purpose here is so that you may not sin against him. That's our third answer to how you can keep your way pure. Keeping it according to his word, seeking him with all your heart, and treasuring his word with your understanding by memorizing God's word. Do you have this verse memorized? You know, Psalm 119, verse 11. If you have one verse out of this chapter memorized, it's probably this one. It's one of the most common memory verses. And yet, it's sometimes the only verse out of the chapter that we memorize, which I find interesting, a verse telling us to memorize his word more, and then we don't have very many. So if you don't have this verse yet memorized, I encourage you greatly to memorize this verse. And whether you do or not, please memorize more. Hide more of his word in your heart, because it's so important. You won't always have your Bible with you. You won't always have his word available. You may leave your Bible in Houston. You may leave your laptop in Houston, like I did. There may be a time when you do not have God's word in front of you. There may be a time where it is actually taken away from you, and not just your own forgetfulness, but when his word is outlawed, when Bibles are taken away. And when that happens, what will you have? You're only going to have what you've memorized. How much of the Bible do you have memorized? What is it that is going to be an encouragement for you when you don't have a Bible? Because the answers are all here. And I hope that you see that as we go through Psalm 119. Over and over, every time there's a problem, whenever there's difficulties, there's enemies, there's persecution, and we'll see all that coming up in Psalm 119. Every time there's a problem, the answer is God's word. God's word is mentioned in almost every single verse in this chapter. The answer is always God's word. So when you have a problem, and you don't have the Bible in front of you, where are you going to find your answer? It's only in the word that you have memorized. So I encourage you, you need to memorize more. I need to memorize more. I'm talking to myself as well. And it will help us not to sin. If you have it in your thinking, if you have it in your understanding, if you are seeking him with all your heart, this is how you keep your way pure. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. This is just a pause, if you will. All the others are speaking with the instrument, how you keep your way pure. Well, this actually isn't a pause, because this is also an answer. And this answer is prayer. This verse right here is a prayer, because it's speaking to God. That's what prayer is speaking to God. And all of these verses, almost every single one, is the psalmist speaking directly to God. And he's praying, teach me your word. Teach me your statutes. A synonym, another word for God's word. And then recognizing the blessedness. It's a different word from what we had in verses 1 and 2. In 1 and 2, we have the blessings, the joy, the happiness we have as a result of the grace that God has shown to us. When it's applied to God, it's not speaking of that he is happy because of something he has done for himself. It's a different sense of the word. It's speaking of praise. It's speaking of the good words that we give to him. We don't make him more blessed than he is, but we do praise him. We are commanded to praise him. So many of the Psalms are praising him for his work, for his attributes, or for his word. And that's what we have here in Psalm 119. Praising him for his word. Thanking him for his word. We had thanks back in verse 7. I shall give thanks to you with a brightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Again, that's the response. He teaches us, we give thanks. We praise. He teaches us, we bless him, we praise him. As we have it in verse 12. Teach me your statutes. So our fourth answer now to how you can keep your way pure is by praying that God would teach you his word. And again, the answer is his word. We talked about this back in Aleph, and just look back at verse 2. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. We have a parallel between God's word and God himself. Seeking him is the same as observing his testimonies, observing his word. And we need to have a personal relationship with God at the same time that we are studying his word and have a personal relationship with the word. God is a person, and he has given us his word, and it needs to be a two-way conversation and not just half a conversation. We need to be praying to him as our half of the conversation as far as what we speak. But the other half is listening to him, and he speaks to us in his word. The relationship needs to have a two-way conversation. If you're only speaking to him and never listening to him, that's a terrible relationship. And it's not the kind of relationship that he wants us to have with him. He wants to hear us pray, and he wants us to hear him in his word. So we pray to him so that he will teach us his word. With my lips, in verse 13, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Again, in English we have with, translating the preposition, the instrument, what we are using to tell others about God's word. And this is another way to keep your way pure. Because if God's word is having an effect in your life, if God's word is important to you and you're treasuring it in your heart and your understanding, then it is natural to tell others about it. If it's something that's truly a blessing to you, something that's having an effect in your life, and not just information you're studying, it's having an impact in your life. The love that the psalmist has for God's word, as we find in Psalm 119, is not a love of information. It's not a love of Bible study in the sense if it's only information. It's more than that. It is God speaking to us. It needs to be much more alive to us than merely information. It needs to have an effect, an impact in our lives. And when it does, if it's important to us, we want others to know it as well. We want others to know how important it is to us because we know the benefit it has for us, and we want that benefit for them. We want others to receive the same blessings that we ourselves have received. And so it would be only natural to tell others about what you have received, about what God has taught you. And you do that with your lips as an instrument, as another way to keep your way pure. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. Here the preposition is translated in, and in this sense, maybe in, I would still prefer as an instrument. Still prefer to translate it as by the way, and the way here meaning lifestyle in a figurative sense. The way that you live your life in accordance with testimonies, which is God's word. And by rejoicing in God's word. This shouldn't be a burden for us. It shouldn't be only an obligation as something we have to do in learning God's word, memorizing God's word, living God's word. It should be a joy for us because we know the blessings that it gives us, the impact that it has in our soul. It should be a joy for us. And if it is something that's a joy for us, then it's something we're going to be telling others about. Because we want others to receive that same joy that we ourselves have received. As much as in all riches. And this is something that's also repeated. The comparison of God's word with riches and how it is beyond comparison, that God's word is so much more valuable. We can look at a couple of other verses to describe riches and how God's word is better. In verse 72, the law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver pieces. There's no amount of money, there's no amount of physical goods that can be more valuable than God's word. And the psalmist expresses that. Also in verse 127, therefore I love your commandments above gold, yes, above fine gold. There's no amount of money, there is no quality of money or possessions that can be greater than God's word. I love in Proverbs, in one of the early chapters, I don't remember off the top of my head, but it says that you need to take hold of wisdom because nothing, there we go, in 3:15, Proverbs. I'll start reading in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. And of course, in Proverbs, that wisdom is not earthly wisdom, it's God's wisdom as described in God's word. So yet again, the answer is God's word. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Just an absolute statement. There's nothing that can compare with it. Nothing. No money, no other possessions, nothing that can compare with the wisdom and the truth that God has for us in his word. And to the same extent and much more, as we rejoice in riches, we need to rejoice in the way of his testimonies. Reading on in verse 15, Psalm 119. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. The on is how we translate the preposition in English. As the word is what we are using, the instrument we are using to meditate, what we are filling our mind with. As this meditation is not emptying our mind of all thought and emotion, trying to receive something that way. That's not what biblical meditation is. It's filling your mind with God's word. Filling your mind with what you have already learned, what you have already studied. You cannot meditate on what you have not already read, we have not already studied. And so before we can memorize his word, we have to read it. Before we can meditate on it, we have to read it. We have to study it. Understand what it is that it is saying so that we can meditate on it. And this is something you can do even without your Bible in front of you. You cannot read your Bible 24 hours a day. You cannot have it in front of you 24 hours a day. But you can meditate on it at all times. And this is something that is, again, a repeated theme in Psalm 119. Let's look at those verses that talk about all, at all times. we have verse 55. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. We have at nighttime, and then in verse 62, we have rising at midnight. I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous ordinances. In verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Not that I'm reading it all the day, but I'm meditating on it all the day. 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. And the verse before that, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. And 164, seven times a day I praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Parallel passage would be Psalm 1. Psalm 1 that begins with how blessed, same word, Ashrei, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And we have blessings associated with those who have a perfect way, and with those who are meditating in God's word, who have hidden it in their heart, who are meditating on the things that God has given us in his word. A parallel passage there in Psalm 1. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Again, it has to be a delight. It has to be a joy to us. And not something we do just because we have to. And not forgetting, this is parallel with remembering, and it's another repeated theme in Psalm 119. He treasures it in his heart. He does not forget. He remembers. Down in 49, the whole section of Zion. Zion is the letter that begins the verb to remember. So he begins by telling God to remember. Remember the word to your servant in which you have made me hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. He receives comfort because he has received God's word. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from your law. Enemies. And we'll see more enemies as we go through the passage. We'll see them in Gimel when we get there. But the answer is God's word. I have remembered your ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself. Here's the psalmist who's remembering in this section that focuses on remembering. He receives comfort because of the word that he has in his soul. Burning indignation has seized me because of the wicked who forsake your law. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. And turning God's word into music is a wonderful way to memorize it. It sticks in your head. And I really appreciate the songs that Doug has done to put scripture to music. That's why I love the hymns, because so many of the hymns we have are based on scripture. And when you are remembering God's word, whether or not it has a tune to it, if the content of it is God's word, then that can have an impact in your life. It can be a comfort to you. O Lord, I remember your name in the night and keep your law. Again, remembering. This has become mine that I observe your precepts. How can we live in accordance with God's law if we do not remember it? If we don't know what his word is, how can we expect to live by it? This was one of the things that was mentioned at the Romans conference. We talked about the gospel and all of its, every part of the gospel is from justification, sanctification, glorification, all three phases of salvation, all three senses of salvation. And we talked about the false gospels, those who believe that by living good lives, by keeping the Ten Commandments, they can get their way into heaven. And yet those people that say that I've kept the Ten Commandments, That's why I'm getting to heaven. Do they know what those Ten Commandments are? Can you name all Ten Commandments? So it's if that's what you are counting on to get you into heaven, it's something you should know. And very few who claim that actually know the Ten Commandments, can name them. So that's not how we get to heaven, not by keeping the Ten Commandments, but 9 of those 10 are repeated for us as commands, except and keep the Sabbath. And if those are commands from God, if that is the law, not the Mosaic law, but it is the law, the instruction that God has given us, shouldn't we know them? Shouldn't we be thinking about these things, remembering them, meditating on them? If you don't remember what it was God said to do, you won't do it. So again, we see the importance of studying God's word, reading it first so that you can memorize it. Can't memorize it if you haven't read it. And then meditating on it, remembering it. You can't do that if you haven't memorized it. This is how we can keep our way pure. There are blessings, happiness, joy that we can receive by keeping our way pure, keeping our way blameless. And how we do it is according to God's word, keeping our way according to God's word. That concludes Baith, and we wouldn't get through all of Gimel, so I'll end us here, and let's close it with a word of prayer. Dear Father, I thank you for your word. Help us to love it more. I know that I don't love you enough. I don't love your word enough the way that this psalmist did. I don't memorize enough of it. I want to know more. Open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from your law. Help us to be in your word, to read it, to memorize it, to treasure it in our heart, that we may not sin against you. Help us to remember these things, to keep them in our thinking. Help them to be important to us, that we can rejoice in them, and we can tell others about it. Because we want others to receive the same blessing, the same joy that we have received by the work that your word is doing in us. Thank you that you've given us your word in book form so that we can study it, so that we can memorize it. I thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit so that we can understand these things. They're spiritual things and they're spiritually appraised. Thank you that you've given us all this by grace. We haven't earned it or deserved it. That's why it's grace. Just thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word. In Jesus Christ's name.